Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York.
On this vote, the yeas are 290, the nays are 137. The joint resolution is passed.
The House has voted to block a potentially crippling nationwide railroad strike. CBS's Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
They can't let this happen. They have to avert a strike. The $2 billion a day impact it has on the U.S. economy, especially at this time of year with supply chains, is unimaginable. So there'll have to be something worked out and something passed. So that part's clear. Whether the U.S. Senate will accept what the House has passed, what the Biden administration wants, without challenges, without amendments, without some drama, that's less than clear.
He says Senate discussions are expected to start tomorrow. Homeland Security is warning of possible violence.
A new terror bulletin issued by the Department of Homeland Security warns threat actors could exploit several upcoming events to justify or commit acts of violence, among them the certification of the midterm elections, gatherings around the holiday season, and the two-year anniversary of the Capitol insurrection.
CBS's Nicole Skanga reports the feds are also watching the Senate runoff in Georgia. Another interest rate hike is expected soon when the Federal Reserve meets in a few weeks. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
It is likely that restoring price stability will require holding policy at a restrictive level for some time.
It would be the fifth hike this year, but Powell says they're necessary to help fight high inflation. Severe weather spawned dozens of tornadoes yesterday across the South. And in Alabama, Montgomery City Mayor Stephen Reed says people are still surveying damage.
We're going to be there to support this community any way we can, and support the churches and support these businesses, as well as all these families, most importantly, as they deal with the trauma that has occurred from losing someone, losing people that they knew. Not to mention how to rebuild.
Two people died when a downed tree crushed their mobile home. Well, the British tabloids scoffed, but it looks like Meghan Markle wasn't making up racism claims in the UK after all. At least one top cop at the palace has resigned over it.
As the second in command at Scotland Yard, Neil Basu was in charge of royal protection. And in his last interview before leaving his job, Basu says that in her days as a working royal, Meghan received what he calls disgusting and very real threats from the far right that led to several arrests and prosecutions. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Here at home, President Biden will meet with Britain's Prince William and Princess Kate on their first overseas trip since the death of Queen Elizabeth. The royals will spend the next 3 days in Boston to focus on their environmental initiative. The Dow added more than 700 points today. The NASDAQ was up 484. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
We may be thousands of miles apart, but we can still connect. And when we do, we make things better. At Child Fund, we connect children all around the world with what they need to grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Together, we co-create connections that help millions of children who live in poverty worldwide, and their families, and their communities, and you. Join us. Together, we can make the world a better place. Two small worlds at a time. Visit childfund.org to learn more.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 7 above tonight under mainly clear skies, westerly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 31. Lows level off.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Now, here's your host, the voice of Badger Hockey, Brian Posick.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. I'm Brian Posick. The Wisconsin Badgers return to action this weekend against one of the most talented teams in college hockey. The Michigan Wolverines are 10-5-1, ranked fifth in the nation, and feature some high-flying freshmen, including Adam Fantilli, one of the country's top scorers. The Badgers are riding a four-game winning streak and welcome fans to the Kohl Center Friday night to celebrate the Suter family. Mr. and Mrs. Suter will be there, along with Gary and John, the entire family, really, with a commemorative puck, helmet stickers, and old-time banners like the ones they hung at the Dane County Coliseum. Badgers and Michigan face off Friday night at 7, Saturday at 4. There's also a teddy toss for Toys for Tots on Saturday, and Mike LeCrone will lead the UW band during the second intermission. That'll be a lot of fun. We'd love to see you at the Kohl Center. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin women are 11-2-1 after taking 4 of 6 points from top-ranked Minnesota 2 weeks ago. This weekend, the Badgers play at Bemidji State, and Mark Johnson will join us in just a bit. But Tony Granato's with us now on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. And, you know, I'm mentioning the Suter family and Toys for Tots and the teddy bear toss and Mike LeCrone, and you're just smiling over there.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, in a quick summary, it says a lot about Badger hockey. You know, you got the Suter family, you got Mike LeCrone, you got teddy toss because you got, you know, lots of community involved with all of our athletic teams. So it's a nice weekend kind of in between Thanksgiving, in between Christmas, to celebrate different things that we're all proud of and good about, and certainly having the Suter family be recognized, certainly having Mike LeCrone be in the building and have different activities going on this weekend. It will be a side event because obviously Michigan's coming into town. They're a heck of a hockey team, as you already mentioned. And you know, we had the weekend off last weekend as a bye weekend, and then it's important we keep the momentum going from the previous 2 weeks when we were able to score some goals. We were able to get some guys feeling really good about their game, and, you know, we need to carry that over into this weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that here in a bit. Do you remember your first encounter with the Suitors?
Sure. I mean, we used to play the Madison Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
They were called way back in the, it would have been early 70s.
Okay, so you're a young lad.
Oh, yeah. We'd come up to Madison with our Husky team from Chicago or Elmhurst, and we'd play the Suitors. And back then, you know, the youth hockey in Chicago was pretty thin. But
really?
Our biggest competitor, yeah, I mean, it was. We didn't have a ton of different programs going. We didn't have AAA. We didn't have travel teams. We basically had the AA teams. And we'd come up here a couple times a year to play the Lakers, and the Suter family's been obviously the same birth year as Gary. So we'd have to go head to head with Gary. And that was always fun to come up here because when you played them, you got to see a Badger hockey game as well. And that's where I was introduced to Badger hockey. And that's when I started to see Bobby and start to know a lot more about Johnny and the rest of the Suter family. So a long, long time ago.
Yeah, okay. All right. You became teammates with Gary, too, which I know you enjoyed.
Absolutely. We came in together as freshmen here back in 1983. You know, and Gary back then was 165 pounds. He had just got drafted, I think, in the last round of the NHL draft. So he was a really long, long shot to ever play in the NHL because a small defenseman at that time. And then 2 years later, he was rookie in the NHL.
Right.
And I just look at you know, him as a teammate and competitor and just what he did to get there was really incredible. It showed, you know, what it's like to be an athlete, the sacrifices you have to make, the commitment you have to make, the conditioning and what you have to put into it. I would, you know, consider him probably my favorite teammate because I learned the most from him on what it meant to be a pro or what it meant to continue to develop and grow as a player, because he was as hard of a worker and as committed of a teammate as that I played with.
Yeah. You've gotten to know John a little bit better too, haven't you?
Which has been fun too, yeah, through this whole process. So I think when events like this happen, and we'll refer back to the Mark Johnson, you can talk to Mark about
sure,
this too,
sure.
when his jersey was retired a few years ago, and then people start telling you stories and you start talking about what it was like to be Mark Johnson when you were in high school and in college sure. and through the Olympics and all this stuff, and it brings back tons of connections with people that want to be part of an event like that. I think mm-hmm. the same thing's going on with the suitors.
Yeah.
And Gary, you know, he's been around practice, I think, every week now, past 4 or 5 weeks, and just comes around and sits around, and we tell stories about, you know, what it was like when we came in here as freshmen, what it was like when we played together at different teams, you know, over the years. And then we bring up names and people and different situations and events that happened over those years, and it just brings back a ton of, I guess, excitement on realizing, you know, one, how lucky we are to have had each other as teammates, two, how lucky we were to have played for the Badgers,
right.
and three, really how cool and special our game is, because it's the relationships that you know, make during those years that stay with you and kind of are what you have so much pride in and remembering. Those experiences were with people that, you know, were the same as you, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, Badger hockey is truly a family.
It is, yeah, and we, yeah. you know, we mentioned that, you know, yesterday when you know, you think of the Johnsons, you think of the Suitors, you can go on and on, and the brothers, mm-hmm. part of it. I mean, it'd be at Jim Johansson's,
the Mershes. You know, you can keep going and going. Sure.
But you know, tonight Jimmy's being honored. Mm-hmm. You know, even though he passed, you know, almost 5 years ago now, I guess it is. He's being honored and inducted in the Hall of Fame, and we're going to have about probably 25 or 26 Badgers at this event tonight in Minneapolis to celebrate, you know, Jimmy's accomplishments and his honor of being inducted into the Hall of Fame. So, and then Johnny, and that's why I'm bringing this up,
yeah.
family. Johnny Johansson, his brother, was here and a big part of a national championship mm-hmm. team as well. So I think, you know, when you said Wisconsin hockey's family, that's the right way to describe it.
Yeah. Again, Suitor family. Night Friday, 7 o'clock face-off. Get there early. There'll be a pregame ceremony, and then throughout the game they're going to intersperse different interviews and highlights and what have you, and hopefully on television we'll get a chance to talk with Marlo Suter, maybe Gary, maybe John. We'll see how that goes. Of course, you can hear the games on the Badger Sports Network. Tony Granato's with us. You mentioned you're going up to the Twin Cities for the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame induction, and Jim Johansson's going in. You know, for about 20 years he was a lead executive in USA Hockey. He helped with the American development model. You know, he was the general manager for so many international squads that won dozens of medals, over 30 gold medals in international competition. You see how USA Hockey elevated in his time there, and he was the general manager of the U.S. Olympic team in 2018 when you were the head coach, and then I remember that was just shocking news. We're in Chicago at the time, and I couldn't believe it, and I know you two had worked so hard to prepare that Olympic team, and then boom, you get smacked in the face. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We were in Chicago. We were getting ready to play Notre Dame on that Sunday afternoon game, and my phone kept ringing at, I don't know, 4:35 in the morning. And I, you know, you ignore it, and you just kind of look at it, and, well, someone must have pocket dialed me or is calling too early. And then
sure.
when you see the same people calling, you know, a couple times in a row, you figure something obviously bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so to hear that phone call and know that, you know, over the night Jimmy had passed you know, one of those moments that you'll remember and you'll just, you know, keep shaking your head on how could it happen. For one,
right.
you know, he was, you know, mid-50s. He was in, looked like great health. You know, we were two weeks away from the Olympics there. He had done all of the preparation on helping us select a team without having any training camp or any preparation as far as, you know, weeks of training together as a group. We were going to show up in
sure.
Pyeongchang and start our Olympics, basically introducing ourselves to one another as a team. And he had put that team together and put hours and hours of work, you know, watching film and doing homework and research on all of these players that were playing in our
internationally, and he did a heck of a job of, on doing that. And to go to the Olympics and not have him there was very difficult for all of us that were involved in it, the players, and you know, were selected by Jimmy. So it was kind of you know, the Olympics had a special feeling because you're part of the Olympics, but when you're missing one of your soldiers and one of the guys that's supposed to be there with you, it was really difficult. But this honor and this, you know, what he's accomplished in his commitment to hockey and for the love of the game that, that he did have, he made USA Hockey a whole lot better with all of the things he did from a management side of things. You talked about all those gold medals, and I remember, you know, when he called me to tell me, you know, that I was going to be the coach of that team, or asked me if I would be. You know, I said, "Well, Jimmy, who are we going to, you know, have as players? Because all the NHL guys have been taken away from us now." Right. He says, "Tone, don't worry about it. Because when we go to these tournaments now, we have so much depth in our players now that we'll be able to field a team that will be competitive enough and give ourselves a chance to win. So when we go to tournaments now, we don't expect to just participate anymore. We expect to win." And you know, right from that, you know, just that conversation, I go, "Holy cow, Jimmy! Well, we've come a long way with USA Hockey, and you have been an integral part on changing our philosophy and our mentality of not just being American players going to play in these tournaments, but being American players that have enough confidence in the fact that doesn't matter what tournament we're going to, when you're an American player and you put that jersey on, you're gonna go there and compete for a medal." And that's the type of team he put together. You know, we came close. If you look back at we lost a shootout that would have advanced us to the four teams to play for a medal. Which was frustrating to lose a shootout in a game like that, but it was also rewarding to know that our players did exactly what Jimmy prepared them to do and thought they could do, and that was represent the U.S. In a competitive way and in a way that they were close to winning.
Yeah. Jim Johansson, Ryan Miller, Steve Cash, Jocelyn, and Monique Lamoureux will join, among others, Tony Granato in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame tonight in St. Paul. Badgers getting ready for fifth-ranked Michigan. More with Tony in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Hey, Siri, what's a shouse?
That's okay, Siri. I got this. A shouse is a building with the secure storage of a clary shed and the living space of a house. Combine the two and you get a shouse. We have so many options to create your very own shouse. Design your custom layout and choose from beautiful color and accessory options, all bundled with the industry-leading quality and warranty you expect from Clary. Visit clarybuilding.com today.
Wisconsin women's sports are elite. Badger volleyball, the reigning national champions. Women's hockey, one of the best of all time with six championships. Women's soccer, two-time Big Ten champs. At UW Health, we're no different. We're proud to also be your home team with superior rankings, like number one for orthopedics in Wisconsin, ready to treat any sports injury, and number one hospital in the state, delivering award-winning care every day. So Wisconsin can keep on winning. UW Health. Remarkable.
Where can you find the best seats in the house on game day? If you can't be at the actual game, Monk's Bar and Grill will always have you covered with more than 20 flat-screen TVs, great food options for every age, and an atmosphere that can't be beat for Badger fans. Outside of the stadium, it's the next best experience you can have on a Badger game day. With six locations throughout Wisconsin, Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Bedroom too hot? Basement too cold? A MyDia ductless system is the perfect solution for room-by-room comfort control without the headache of a major renovation. As you look for ways to maximize your space, MyDia can provide you with a customizable solution to meet your needs. To learn more, visit MyDiaMidwest.com. That's M-I-D-E-A Midwest.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hey Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants to give you and one friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2023 season. With pregame sideline or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of merchandise, it'll be an extra great day to be a Badger. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase necessary. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're
born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. The Badgers host Michigan Friday night at 7, Saturday at 4 here on the Badgers Sports Network. The Wisconsin men's hockey team unveiled its 2023 recruiting class this week. It includes, six forwards, four defensemen, and a goaltender, William Graham from Stockholm. He currently plays in the North American League. The defensemen include Brady Cleveland, a Wausau, Wisconsin native. And then you take a look at the forwards that will be coming in, a young man from Green Bay, Sawyer Scholl, also Quinn Finley, who's playing right nearby with the Madison Capitals and a third-round draft pick of the Washington Capitals. I know you like this recruiting class a lot, don't you?
I do. I mean, these are kids that, for the most part, have been committed for a couple years now, at least two or three years. We've been tracking them. I think some of the part about the early recruiting that's exciting is you can follow them a little bit closer and you get to know the kids a little bit better. And you know, some of the kids, you know, you talk to, you know, almost, I won't want to say every day, but pretty close to it, that, you know, they want to, you know, get updates on what's going on here in Madison. They want to talk about their team and where they are with what's going on in their careers. So I think that part of it's been exciting and helpful. So when they get here, there isn't a lot of surprises. We know them. They know us. But this is a good class. You mentioned Quinn Finley, who's right here in Madison. That's a player that offensively is going to help us from the second he gets in here. We got William Whitelaw, another top offensive player. Sure. We got Aiden Fink, another offensive player that's lighting it up in the Alberta League. We got one Mellenbacher, a big center that's in the USHL as well, a big body that's going to give us some size and some physicality to our lineup. And then the defensive guys that you got Brady Cleveland, who you mentioned, that's a, you know, a big, you know, strong, powerful
6'4", 200, yeah.
Defenseman that's tough as nails. And you got Zach Schultz from there. You got Joe Palatichuk that's doing really well in his USHL career. Mm-hmm. Boston Buckberger is having a great start to his USHL career. And then the goalie, William Graham, is having a phenomenal year, too. So everyone that's going to come in this year are all having really solid starts to their season. And we do expect them all to come in and have contributions as soon as they get on campus.
Yeah, Graham, by the way, is a 6'4" goaltender. And you mentioned Aiden Fink in 31 games with Brooks, the Bandits, in the Alberta Junior League. He's got 25 goals and 66 points. That's pretty impressive. Wondering, though, you know, you've signed 11. You've got seven seniors, fourth-year seniors or graduate students. I know there may be a couple of young men that decide to turn pro and give up some eligibility, so you're kind of working with the numbers.
It's different. Yeah. There's lots of changes and turnovers that happen at the end of every season. Mm-hmm. The other thing, you know, that you have to have and you realize, especially, you know, when we went through that COVID year, you got to have depth.
Right.
You got to have numbers. And it's somewhat unique that most teams now are starting to carry a player or two extra. I don't want to get past, you know, the 15 or 16 forwards or the eight defensemen right. and the three goalies. But having at least that number of players on your roster is important, and it's important again, as you can see, and you know, lots of seasons we had to play games with 15 players a couple years ago.
Correct.
So the depth is important. These guys that are coming in, again, we won't recruit players unless we think they can come in and play and have a role when they get here, and all of them are on track to be players that we are really excited as coaches to add to our program.
Yeah, you're talking about depth. Michigan had its depth tested recently with a virus breakout within the team. This is prior to their series at Minnesota. They got swept there, and then they played a really good Harvard team this past weekend, a 4-4 overtime tie, and then they won the finale. They've got a new head coach in Brandon Nerado. I don't know if you're familiar with this young man who took over for Mel Pearson after he was dismissed following an investigation within the program, but he's got them playing pretty well right now.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of talent.
They do. They get talent. They're similar to the way they were last year. I don't know that he's made a whole lot of adjustments systematically on how mm-hmm. they do play. They got a big goaltender.
Eric Portillo is like 6'4", yeah.
He's a big goaltender. That's you know potential NHL star someday as well. So they're definitely talented. I think we will have success against them if we stay on the attack and we forecheck and play in the offensive zone similar to the way we did the last four games. So I think the confidence that we've gained in ourselves to be able to understand that we can play at a pace and play with a certain style of play that'll be effective no matter who we play is important. If we want to sit back and try to defend against Michigan, we're going to have a tough time. If we want to open the game up and go end to end, we're probably going to have a tough time. But there is a game that can be played that we can have success, and that's going to be with the forecheck. It's going to make we're going to have to make it harder on their D, being physical in the offensive zone, and we're going to have to track and not allow them to be able to open the game up. And again, the one thing that I think was really impressive for us during that four game span is all four of our lines contributed in one way, shape, or form. If they didn't score, they checked and they were physical and they grinded teams down and they drew penalties. And you know, if you look at our penalty killing unit in the past few weeks, it started to come to what we thought it could be, and Horvath has added a ton to that.
Yes.
Obviously, Lindmark and Mersch and Sam Stang now has become a new addition to that. Our defense has been really solid on the PK. Power play starting to get a little bit of confidence in life as well. We got the two units going on.
Yep, sure.
And so things are looking good from where we're at from a confidence standpoint. Now we got to throw it out there against a team that's a top-ranked team. We've played enough top-ranked teams this year so far to understand what that means. And now that we got a little bit better of an idea on who we are, that's the way we have to play this weekend, and we'll go out and see where we're at.
Looking forward to it. I'm sure you'll get a little choked up, too, with the Suter family recognition on Friday night, but this will be a blast. This is a really cool throwback weekend we're looking forward to.
It is. Yeah. And you mentioned it earlier. We were in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then, when you go through Thanksgiving, everyone says, oh, we're so thankful for our family and our opportunities that we have to work with certain people and all the things that are special in our lives. And when you think of the Madison community and you think of what makes Madison special, you can throw the Suiters and Johnson's name out there pretty quickly, and it's all around hockey, but it's also around what they give to the community and what kind of people they are. So it will be a nice weekend for that. You mentioned Mike Lacrone, too.
Yep.
I get choked up talking about Mike Lacrone because I think about the impact that he's had on our not just our athletic team, not just our hockey team, but our community, of what he has given us for enjoyment and excitement. And, there's no better, person to have in a red sport coat with a, was he have a wand? What do they have in there?
Whatever they use for the band. Wand, I like that.
The wand. he's going to be here giving us, again, lots of memories and reasons to be thankful for being Badgers and part of what we have here.
Well, enjoy the celebrations and good luck against Michigan this weekend.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, yeah, and enjoy the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame tonight,
absolutely,
too, in St. Paul. That's Badgers head coach Tony Granato, Wisconsin and Michigan, Friday night at 7, Saturday at 4 here on the Badgers Sports Network. We'll hear from Wisconsin senior forward and lead penalty killer Owen Lindmark coming up, plus Wisconsin women's hockey coach Mark Johnson. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Congratulations to the winners of the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway. The following individuals won a $50 gift card from the participating sponsors: Petra Inderdahl of Scandinavia from La Taqueria, Dave Colby of Wisconsin Rapids from Jennings & Company, Ken Hilgers of Nakusa from Piggly Wiggly, and Brenda Piotrowski of Adams from Hoozles at the Lakes. And the grand prize winner of two club tickets to the New Year's Day game, Dave Colby. WFHR and WIRI would like to thank all who participated, and especially our sponsors. Have a happy holiday season from Civic Media and local Grown Radio.
Ahoy, Wisconsin. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, a new Native American theme show live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7. Each day, activists and newsmakers will provide updates on protecting Mother Earth. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Join us for our Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake weeknights at 6 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 7 above tonight under mainly clear skies, westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 31. Lows level off around 25. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. A dusting of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 18.
Well, as we take a look at the Big Ten, Minnesota's currently in first place with 18 points. Surprisingly, Michigan State in second place with 17, and the Spartans host the Gophers this weekend. Wisconsin's at Minnesota next weekend. Penn State's in third place with 16 points. Ohio State has 12. Those teams meet in State College this weekend. Notre Dame's in fifth place, idle. And again, Michigan is at Wisconsin. The Wolverines have only 6 points in 6 conference games so far. Tony Granato and I were talking about the improved penalty kill of late, and that's led by senior Owen Lindmark from Naperville, Illinois. Owen battled through all sorts of injuries and surgeries just to return this year, and I had a chance to talk with Owen recently. Owen, you've already played more games this season than you played all of last season. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Obviously, last year was tough, but I'm feeling great now. It's been a tough start so far, but really good weekend this weekend, and it's a lot to build off of. So we just got to keep working at it, and I have a lot of confidence in the group and in the room, and so do all the other guys. So we got to take it one game at a time here with Lindenwood coming up, and then just keep taking it week by week and see where it goes.
All right, can you tell our fans what you went through last year to get back on the ice this season?
Yeah, I first started last summer. I had a surgery on a calcification in my groin that had to get removed. So that happened, and that was actually 2 months before our first game. It was obviously not a major surgery, but had that. And then when I was kind of rehabbing back from that, I started feeling pain in my hips. So then I ended up having double hip surgery. One was in February, and then the first one was in January. So A lot of rehab last year, and, you know, it was definitely tough. You know, when you play hockey your whole life and then you get it all taken away from you, it definitely puts life into perspective for you. And, you know, it really made me appreciate everything that we have here, just the resources, you know, just away from hockey. Because, you know, when you're not playing hockey, you don't really know what to do at first. But, you know, tons of support. So it was good. Great learning experience, and I'm back now. So it's awesome.
I can't imagine what that rehab process was like, but motivated to get back on the ice, like you mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously, it's tough seeing the team lose last year, you know, struggling a little bit and not being able to do anything to help. That was kind of one of the hardest things to go through because, you know, normally you're on the bench and, you know, picking guys up. But when you see guys down or you see things aren't going right for some people and you're sitting up in the stands, it's tough. So, you know, it was just learning how to interact with guys in different ways and say, like, hey, even though I'm not playing, like, this is what I'm seeing. And, you know, maybe this could help with you. So.
Sure. When did you know that, all right, I'm ready, I can play this season, I'm going to be okay?
Honestly, like, I knew, like, as soon as I got the surgery, like, I'm playing no matter what. You know, so I was obviously itching to get back. But I would say probably, like, 3 weeks before our first game is, like, really when I started feeling, like, my strength coming back, like, fully. Because, you know, it's a long process. And I would say, like, 3 weeks before, I, like, finally started feeling like myself, and I was like, all right, like, let's go, like, it's time. So but no, I'm feeling really good. And you know, obviously last year sucked, but you know, I'm feeling much better obviously, so it's great.
Yeah. And your first series back at Ohio State, you score your second game of the year. That must have been all right. I am back.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously good, just getting that one out of the way. Because I mean, it's not all about points, you know. It's, you know, how you're just playing doesn't correlate to how many points you're having. But at the same time, like, you always want to get it out of the way sooner rather than later. So that was good to get it over with in the second game back.
Yeah. Did you have that nice mustache before you scored the goal?
Or definitely
it come
not.
After? Yeah.
Definitely not. It's kind of the last week kind of thing. I don't know. We'll see. My mom doesn't like it, so we'll see how long it sticks. But, you know, I have it right now, so we'll see.
Needs some work, Owen. It needs some work.
I'm not known for my facial hair, so that's all right.
A couple more for you.
Yeah.
One thing that's improved lately has been the penalty kill. So what's been the secret to a successful penalty kill?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we struggled a little bit at the beginning, but I think the most important thing with, you know, special teams is just learning. You know, you're going to get scored on. That's just the nature of hockey. But it's how you learn from the mistakes that led up to the goals and, you know, how to prevent those in the future. So I think, obviously, we gave up some goals at the beginning of the year, but, you know, we've really been turning the corner recently. So, you know, a nice shorthanded goal by Jack this weekend. So, and, you know, we've had chances on the penalty kill, too. So, you know, I think we're really firing on all cylinders, and it's something to build off of.
Yeah, Jack Horbach, you've been paired with him on the penalty kill. He comes up with a shorty. You've got a shorty as well. What's it like playing with Jack?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've known him. He's from Naperville. Mm-hmm. I'm from Naperville. So I've known him for a long time. So, you know, it's good to have that connection. But I think, you know, the thing with us is we just communicate all the time, whether it's, you know, 5-on-5 shift or on the penalty kill. We're always talking to each other, which, you know, kind of just feeds into our game and, you know, gives you confidence knowing where he's going to be if you have the puck. So that's been really helpful, especially on the penalty kill, because, you know, like, if he's going to have an opportunity to spring me or if I'm going to have an opportunity to spring him sometimes.
Yeah. With a PK, you need your goaltender to be good. You need to block shots. You need to win faceoffs, too.
Yeah.
Your club's doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought we had a really good faceoff weekend last against Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one thing that we can still continue to improve on is blocking shots on the penalty kill. That's kind of been a point of emphasis recently. But, you know, you just got to take it one at a time and keep stringing, you know, kills together. And then, you know, in the long run, hopefully you've made enough mistakes that you've learned from them. And, you know, we're going to be a shutdown unit.
That's senior forward Owen Lindmark. Stay tuned. The Wisconsin women hit the road to play Bemidji State. Head coach Mark Johnson is next on the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Wisconsin sports are superior. Last season, Badger basketball was number one in the Big Ten. Football, number one in the conference for total defense. And hockey, still one of the best of all time with 6 championships. At UW Health, we're no different. We're proud to also be your home team with number one rankings, like number one for orthopedics in Wisconsin, ready to treat any sports injury, and number one hospital in the state, delivering award-winning care every day so Wisconsin can keep on winning. UW Health. Remarkable.
Hi, I'm Sean Cleary. I'd like to take a quick 30 seconds and talk to you about the most important part of a Cleary building, the foundation. Without it, you won't be able to stand the test of time. At Cleary, our foundation is made up of some truly amazing people. Our Cleary family rises to the challenge every day, and it shows when that shamrock is applied. So if you are looking for a new challenge in our all-new corporate office or out on the construction site, join the Cleary family today by clicking on careers@clearybuilding.com.
Hey Badger fans, American Family Insurance wants to give you and one friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the 2023 season. With pregame sideline or courtside passes, a tour of the facility, and tons of merchandise, it'll be an extra great day to be a Badger. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase necessary. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Bedroom too hot? Basement too cold? A MyDia ductless system is the perfect solution for room-by-room comfort control without the headache of a major renovation. As you look for ways to maximize your space, MyDia can provide you with a customizable solution to meet your needs. To learn more, visit MyDiaMidwest.com. That's M-I-D-E-A Midwest.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin,
so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road.
And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober, or get pulled over.
Together, we can save lives.
Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
Well, the Wisconsin women's hockey team is coming off its third bye week in 4 weeks, and this weekend hits the road to play Bemidji State, then on to Mankato to play Minnesota State to wrap up the first half of the season. Badgers off to a good start at 11-2-1, and while you look at them in third place in the WCHA, 12 points behind league-leading Ohio State, the Badgers have played 4 fewer games than the Buckeyes, so a conference championship very much within reach. It's only late November anyway. Mark Johnson now joins us. And, you know, Mark, the last you played, it was a physical highlight reel type series against the Minnesota Golden Gophers, a 3-3 overtime tie. Gophers won the shootout, and then you dominate, especially down the stretch in the finale, and beat Minnesota 4-1 to take 4 of 6 points in the league. Anybody that witnessed that series at LeBron Arena were treated. That was fun to watch.
It really was, and I'm not sure there's been a better weekend of hockey since LeBron's been built that we saw, you know, with Minnesota and ourselves, just because you look at both teams, you know, high profiled players, and then both teams playing at a real high level. And so obviously on Saturday it ended up in a tie. We scored late and they beat us in a shootout, and then I didn't know how much energy either team would have in Sunday's game, but both teams brought it back on Sunday. And, you know, the second half of that game, you know, we played really well and limited them to a lot of, you know, quality scoring opportunities, which is a real positive for me. But over the whole weekend, I know a lot of people were at the games. They both were sold out, and it was on TV, and they got treated to some really quality women's hockey.
Yeah.
The rematch against Minnesota in Minneapolis is coming up February 10th and 11th. That's still a little ways away, but you're on the road here the next four games. And you said, told me yesterday that you thought the break after the Minnesota series was a good one. Now, taking off 2 weeks in a row prior to Minnesota probably wasn't what you wanted, but after playing the Gophers, it's not bad. All right, let's relax and then catch our breaths, and then let's finish off the second, our first half strong.
Yeah, and I think the reason I said that is because, you know, previously in the month of November, we had a couple weekends off, and you know, we're still in school, and yeah. You know, we're still practicing every day except our mandatory one day off. And the reason I mentioned I thought last weekend was a good weekend off, because all of a sudden, you know, Wednesday comes, and you know, a lot of kids don't have their classes on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They don't have to go and have mm-hmm. to worry about classes. And so it's amazing the energy that gets instilled on, you know, a college student athlete when they don't have to, you know, school's not part of their day. And then the bonus to me was, you know, a bunch of them traveled home, got to spend a couple days, maybe 3 days with their family on Thanksgiving. As you well know, if you get a chance to, you know, with your wife and your kids, because we all travel in hockey, and it's very rare we can get everybody back at the same table and enjoy a meal. And so when they came back Sunday afternoon, we practiced at 4 o'clock, you could just see there was some energy. So I thought overall that weekend, this past one, having off was a positive.
Yeah. Wanted to bring up Cammie Cronish, who was named the WCHA goalie of the week for her performance against Minnesota. She started the series opener and then had to come in the finale because of an injury to Jane Gervais. Cammie played well for you, and how's Jane doing?
She's doing okay. I mean, it's one of those lower body injuries that can be a week, can be a 10 days, can be a couple weeks, can be 4 weeks. Mm. And so she actually skated yesterday, not in practice, but got out on the ice and skated. So I'm sure she's not going to be available probably this weekend, but you know, we're looking for her to be available for us when we go up to Mankato the following weekend.
All right. Again, Badgers at Bemidji this weekend. More on that coming up in just a bit. Tonight, the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame holds its induction ceremony. Two young ladies that you're familiar with, Jocelyn and Monique Lamoureux, are going into the hall. So is Jim Johansson, who I know you knew quite well, and unfortunately he passed away almost 5 years ago, which is hard to believe. But, you know, Jimmy did some great things for the Wisconsin Badgers and some phenomenal things for USA Hockey, didn't he?
He really did. And, you know, you go back in history, and when we started with our Olympic team in 1980, Jimmy and Johnny Johansson, who both played here, their father, Ken, was real good friends with my dad. They grew up at the same time, played a lot of hockey together, actually were roommates up in North Dakota in the dungeon when my dad played at North Dakota with Kenny. But Kenny was our first GM on our 1980 Olympic team for a short period of time. And yeah, longtime family friend, a really hockey encyclopedia, you know, similar to my dad and other people that grew up in that era around Minneapolis and Minnesota that, you know, they loved hockey, and Ken being from Rochester, you know, involved in hockey there. And obviously his two sons became pretty good players mm-hmm. in that Rochester community during that era when Jimmy and Johnny grew up. You know, they had some pretty good teams, and obviously were both elite players and got a chance to play here at Wisconsin. And, you know, for Jimmy, for a lot of us, whether it's coaching or in an administrative position, he got a chance to continue in hockey in a leadership role with USA Hockey and was involved in a bunch of, you know, groups of putting Olympic teams together, dealing with NHL GMs, and you know, for himself, he got a chance to play in the Olympics, and so
sure.
He really lived a fulfilled life. And I remember, you know, 5 years ago when you know you get a phone call and all of a sudden you find out that he passed away, and it just, you know, it stuns you, it puts you back on your seats. It was very similar to when Bobby passed away
right.
in Madison a while back. It just sort of stuns you, but you know, you look at his body of work and what he did in a lifetime. I'm very remarkable. I'm very happy to see him going into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah. You mentioned Bob Suter. Mark Johnson's with us. Bobby and Mark, part of the Miracle on Ice, of course, and the Suter family is going to be honored here Friday night. I know you'd like to be here. You'll be happy to be in Bemidji, too, eating walleye, I'm sure. But Friday night, the Suter family will be honored. Marlo and Dodie and Gary and John. Bobby, unfortunately, passed away a few years ago, too. They'll honor Ryan. I mean, the Suter's up and down. You know, there's so many of them that have made a major impact on hockey, not only in Madison, but the state, and even beyond around that, haven't they?
It really is. You know, when you mention hockey in Madison and, you know, who are the different individuals that help really, you know, get things going here. And obviously Marlowe is a big part of that, what he was able to do on the east side and eventually getting Hartmeyer built built over there. And so it gave a lot of opportunity for younger players, me being included, even though I lived on the west side, a chance to, you know, get better at hockey because, you know, all of a sudden you got these indoor rinks and a chance to play. And then you look at, you know, the next wave where, you know, Marlo's son John, and then you look at Bobby, you look at Gary, and it's like, wow, I mean, a lot of good hockey players within that family. And then, you know, you see what Ryan's been able to do, not only here at Wisconsin, he was only here a short time, but what he's been able to do in the National Hockey League and continue to leave that legacy that Marlo started so long ago on the east side. And, and when Bobby built the rink over in Middleton and, you know, established a Cap Ice Center, you know, Ryan's got the torch and he's doing a great job. You know, they got a USHL team back in there
and doing well.
Bobby was working things over on the east side at Hartmeyer. He had the USHL team over, and you mentioned names like Scott Owens, who was part of that group. You mentioned Robbie Endringa, who's part of that, you know, staff with that team. And all of a sudden, you know, Bobby builds this rink on the, you know, the west side, I guess you would call it, in Middleton. And all of a sudden now we got a USHL team back and doing quite well. And, you know, that's kudos to Ryan and his group that's been able to do that. And so you think back on Marlo so long ago, because we're certainly not getting younger, and it's still going on. And so for Tony and Wisconsin and the athletic department to recognize their family Friday night is a special honor to them and well-deserved.
Yeah, Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin had a varsity hockey program in the 20s and early 30s, and then it disbanded. And it didn't return until 1963. A few years later, your dad took over the program. But in between, kind of bridging the gap, was this organization called the Madison Cardinals. And that's Marlo Suter was one of the standouts on that team, Jingles O'Brien, among others, too. But I understand that Marlo Suter and your dad played hockey at times together with the Cardinals. Is that right?
Yeah, you mentioned those names. And, you know, I was a youngster at that time.
Yeah.
You know, when I moved here, I was in third grade. So as you're following your dad around to all these different events and following him to work, you know, you're running into Jingles O'Brien. You know, you're running into Marlo Suter. You're running into all these different people that they were hanging. And they all loved to play hockey.
Sure.
And so where can I go play hockey? Whether it's the Madison Cardinals, well, why don't we get a pickup group of, you know, guys that like to play, and we'll get these teams coming down from Minnesota or maybe from the northern part of the state and, you know, play some games at Hartmeyer on any given weekend. And so it, as a youngster, that's what we got to see. And Bobby was no different, you know, other than he lived on the east side and played for the Lakers. But, you know, he was following his dad around, and his dad would always have this stick on his shoulder, either coming into Hartmeyer or leaving Hartmeyer. And he was sharpening skates. So after practice, if you needed your skate sharpened, you know, just go check down Marlo, give him your skates. And I don't know what he'd charge, a buck or 50 cents or what he was charging. Maybe he wasn't even charging. And he would take him home, go in his basement, sharpen the skates, bring him back to the next practice or games. And, you know, at that time too, you know, there was a yellow school bus that would go into, you know, what is now the Shell, you know, Camp Randall there. And the players that played for Wisconsin that time would get on the bus. They would drive themselves to the east side to Hartmeyer because that's where they were practicing. And there's Marlo, you know, sharpening skates for them too. So, yeah, history, if you go back and you like to know how things started in Madison, there's some great stories about those individuals that helped get it going.
Yeah. I know you scored a lot of goals in your days with the Badgers. I don't know how many penalties you had, but do you ever get any milk duds from Marlo in the penalty box?
No, it was Marlo in the penalty box and then George Fabian in the penalty box. So depending on, you know, what side you went on and what side they were working, Bobby, that was one of the reasons everybody thought Bobby got so many penalties, because he could go in the penalty box. His dad was in the penalty box and he had a box of milk duds. And so when Bobby maybe was feeling hungry or needed a sugar high, boom, all right, I'm going to take 2 minutes. I'm going to go over half a box of milk duds, come back on, and then fly around again.
Yeah, Bobby and Gary led the team in penalties like 2 or 3 years in a row or something like that. And Marlo must have had a ton of those milk duds for his kids.
Yeah, you would think most things, if you know, like if you're on your second or third penalty in a game or maybe a fourth one, or Bobby just blew up a goalie, which he was notable for doing, he would come in the penalty box and his dad would say, hey, I'm not sure that was a good idea, instead of, you know, rewarding him and giving him some milk duds. So.
Again, Suter Family Night, Friday night, 7 o'clock. We hope you join us. Mark Johnson's here, so you're going to Bemidji. You know, a team that you look at them in the standings, you know, they're not doing well record wise, but I think I've gotten to know you over the years that it doesn't matter who you play, and especially when you go up there, the Beavers are going to pack it in and it's going to make it tough for you to put the puck away.
Yeah, so the important thing is, as I told our group yesterday after practice, is you know, we can control what we can control, and that's the ability to go out when they drop the puck. We need to be ready to really play at a high level, similar to what we did against Minnesota a couple weekends ago. We need to build on that. And, you know, for teams like Bemidji, Jim does a great job of getting those kids to play hard, to block shots. And as you well know, if a goalie's hot, you know, that goalie can beat you. So the quicker you can, you know, create scoring opportunities, if you're fortunate to, you know, get a goal or two, that helps things out. And, you know, when you play certain teams, those are the things they have to look for. So our preparation, our practice, and our ability to bring energy and excitement as we start Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock is that onus is on us. And that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm talking about, you know, the 3 or 4 days as we prep for them.
Sure. Friday at 3 o'clock, Saturday at 2 o'clock. You can watch both games on Big Ten Plus on the video stream. So how much is a river pizza? Because can I give you some cash and you bring one back that I can just pop in the oven?
Yeah, we've done that before.
I've heard that.
Mark Greenhall, our goalie coach, he's notorious for making sure his order gets in, and we bring it back. We stick in the back of the plane where the bags are, so it's nice and cold. Yeah, and so
what's on the river?
Oh, what isn't on the river? I mean, name any kind of meat that goes on a pizza and everything else. I think everything in the kitchen sink they throw on there, okay. And then they put it in a box and good luck. There you go. You can eat it.
So. All right. Let me get my wallet. I need one of those.
Well, the nice thing about, you know, the trip is that obviously, you know, to me, I like afternoon games, and we play 3 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Yeah. We'll get back Saturday night. So this story goes back a long time, because at that time, Greeny, every once in a while, he would be working a bartender shift over at, you know, next to Glenway Golf Course.
Sure. The tavern, right? Glenway. Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yep. Yeah. So he was working there. So we got home like, you know, at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and we've got this pizza. So we go over to, you know, the establishment to give Greeny his pizza, and he throws it right on the grill. He takes a pizza right out of the box, yep. Throws it on the grill. And so not only is he eating that, I mean, you know, he's given a couple other people that have been there for a while pizza, and they say, oh, man, it's the best pizza I've ever had. Where'd you get it? Well, it just came from Bemidji about 2 hours ago.
Greeny is the best.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for coming down. Good luck in Bemidji.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You're welcome. That's Wisconsin women's hockey coach Mark Johnson. Again, the Badgers at Bemidji State Friday at 3 o'clock and Saturday at 2 o'clock. We'll wrap things up in a moment. This is the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
If you talk, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art artists supporting artists in their own words.
It was the Village Bar, where Mark Greenhall used to bartend, and he'll be devouring River Pizza from Bemidji this weekend. Again, the Wisconsin women at Bemidji State Friday and Saturday afternoon. The Wisconsin men, home to play Michigan. They resume Big Ten play Friday night at 7, Saturday at 4 p.m. Both games on the Badger Sports Network, and come on out Friday night and celebrate the Suter family. For Tony Granato and Mark Johnson, along with our producer-engineer Dave McCann, I'm Brian Posick. We'll be talking to you Friday night. Thanks for listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour from Learfield.
You've been listening to the Wisconsin Hockey Hour, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 7 above tonight under mainly clear skies, westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 31. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Lows dip down to about 25. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. A dusting of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 17.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.